Hello and welcome to the Lancet's In Conversation With podcast. I'm your host, Callum Davidson. This week we're discussing a vaccine against typhoid and paratyphoid following the publication of a phase one trial in our April 20th issue. The paper is entitled The Safety and Immunogenicity of a Bivalent Conjugate Vaccine Against Salmonella Enterica Typhi and Paratyphi A in Healthy Indian Adults, a phase one randomized active controlled double-blind trial. Joining us to discuss this trial and its implications is the lead author, Dr. Prasad Kulkarni. Dr. Kulkarni, if I could ask you to just start by introducing yourself.
Hello, everybody. I am Prasad Kulkarni. I'm a physician and a clinical pharmacologist. I work at the Serum Institute of India, Private Limited, which is the world's largest vaccine manufacturing company in terms of number of doses distributed. I have been working for the last 23 years, and I head the Clinical Research and Pharmacovigilance Department. Serum Institute is based at Pune, India, and they have been making vaccines for several life-threatening diseases since 1967, so it's been more than 50 years, and it has been the biggest supplier of vaccines to the UN agencies like the UNICEF and Pan American Health Organization, especially supplying vaccines to the developing world.
Now, for listeners who aren't familiar, could you start by providing us with a brief overview of typhoid and paratyphoid fever? So what causes these diseases? What are the symptoms? Where are they most prevalent? And how are they currently treated?
So typhoid and paratyphoid fever, they both are the forms of an illness called as enteric fever. And the name comes from the bacteria that cause them. Typhoid is basically caused by gram-negative bacilli, Salmonella enterica subspecies Cervus typhi, while paratyphoid fever is caused by Salmonella enterica subspecies paratyphi A, B, and C. Of these, Salmonella typhi and Salmonella paratyphi A are responsible for the great majority of the cases of enteric fever. The infection usually spreads by intake of food or water contaminated with the excreta of carriers of these two organisms. So it is orofecal transmission. It is prevalent in the regions of the world where people have inadequate access to clean water and sanitation. So that's why we see that typhoid is endemic mainly in Asia and in sub-Saharan Africa, whereas paratyphoid fever is prevalent mainly in South and Southeast Asia. Almost 80% of the global cases of these diseases are found in developing countries like India, Bangladesh, China, Indonesia, Laos, Nepal, Pakistan, Vietnam, etc. There are around 13 million cases of enteric fever every year in the world, of which around 3.8 million are due to paratyphoid infection, which is just under a third cases of all the infections. Both these infections can present with high fever, headache, muscle joint pains, abdominal pain, diarrhea, or constipation, nausea, vomiting. And if it is not treated in time, they can result in complications like gastrointestinal bleeding, intestinal perforation, or the person can also become a long-term carrier of the bacteria. Once he becomes a carrier, he will not really have any symptoms, but he will continue spreading the infection. Paratyphi A will also cause a similar picture. And antimicrobial treatment is the first line of management, and it completely cures the enteric fever. Fluoroquinolones are the treatment of GIs, its susceptible strains, and also for treatment of the carriers. But of course, we know that antimicrobial resistance has become a very, very big problem. And that's another reason why we need to prevent these infections with good vaccines. Currently, there are a few typhoid vaccines available for prevention of typhoid fever. This can be either an oral live attenuated vaccine or a VI capsular unconjugated polysaccharide vaccine. Or recently, there has been a polysaccharide conjugate vaccine. Vaccines have also been developed. These conjugate vaccines are more popular because they generate T cell dependent immune response, which can be long-lasting, can give high affinity antibodies, including immunogenicity. Also, they induce memory, and they can work in children below 2 years. These are now available, and they are now recommended for individuals above 6 months and older. And in some countries, they also become part of the routine immunizations. So that's the current scenario of typhoid.
No, thank you very much. And I think, yeah, you've made a fairly clear case as to why this particular trial was necessary. So maybe you could let us know then, what was the main purpose of your trial specifically?
We saw that, the global burden of these diseases is, of course, very huge. But if you look at the breakup of the cases, around 77% cases are because of typhoid and remaining 23rd by paratyphoid. And almost 90% cases of paratyphoid are caused by paratyphoid E. And we, as I told, only typhoid vaccines are available. There is no vaccine for paratyphoid. We also see a gradual shift in the enteric fever burden from S-typhi to S-paratype. So that's one more reason. I already talked about significant antimicrobial microbial resistance, which makes it necessary that we should have a vaccine against paratype. So because there is no vaccine available for paratype, there are several candidate vaccines in different stages of development. But a monovalent paratyphoid vaccine is less likely to be used, using two vaccines separately can be a little challenging. And therefore, we thought that a single bivalent vaccine against both pathogens would be preferable, would also be programmatically very strict, and it could be deployed in endemic areas. So considering this unmet need, Serum Institute developed this bivalent vaccine. And in preclinical stage, it was found to be safe and immunogenic for both the components. Also in the animal toxicity studies, it was found safe. That's how clinical development started. And then once we saw that the vaccine is safe and immunogenic in animals, obviously we wanted to do the phase one clinical study. And that was the main purpose, to establish the safety of this vaccine in the first in man study, and also to get some idea about the immunogenicity of this vaccine. And this is the reason why this phase one study, a double blind randomized study, was done in Indian adults, and where we compared this vaccine with a licensed typhoid conjugate vaccine as the comparator. Either vaccine was given as a single intramuscular dose, and we kept a safety follow-up of 6 months. Immunogenicity for both the typhoid paratypoid components were measured at baseline, and then post-vaccination at 28 days and at 6 months. And this is how the study was done, and this is the first ever evidence of any human data on a bivalent vaccine.
So you were looking at the safety and the immunogenicity of this vaccine. What were your headline findings?
So what we found, first of all, that the safety was absolutely seen. There was no issue. The incidence, severity, outcome of the solicited local and systemic events, as well as of unsolicited events, was similar to the comparator, to the already licensed typhoid conjugate vaccines. All the adverse events were either mild to moderate in severity, and none of the unsolicited events were related to the vaccines. All events resolved without any sequelae. There were no serious adverse events reported during the entire 6 months period. So it was found to be absolutely safe and well tolerated in this first in man study. So that was the biggest finding. And then, of course, secondarily, we looked at immune responses. So we found that the immunogenicity of the typhoid component in terms of the anti-VI IgG as well as IgA antibodies, it was comparable to the licensed typhoid conjugate vaccine. For paratyphoid A, we also saw a robust immune response in terms of anti-lipopolysaccharide IgG and serum bactericidal acid titers in the study vaccine. And of course, as expected, we did not find any response to paratyphoid A with the comparator vaccine. So in summary, we found that the vaccine was highly safe and as well as immunogenic for both the components.
So very positive findings. What do these findings mean for the wider field then in terms of clinical implications?
So we already saw that there is a major unmet need for paratyphoid fever, and though typhoid vaccines are used, we need to fill this gap for paratyphoid. So if eventually this vaccine gets licensed, it will be the first such vaccine, bivalent vaccine against both the bacteria, and it will be a proper protection against the enteric fever. Operationally, it will be cost effective as a single vaccine. And we also saw that at 6 months, the vaccine showed a good persistence of antibodies, so which indicates that the vaccine may give a very long-term protection against both the vaccines. So now, after this phase one study, we'll get into the further phases of clinical development. And then eventually, if it gets licensed, it could, hopefully be used in the field.
Excellent. And what do you think were sort of the key limitations of your trial?
So since this was a phase one study, naturally, it was not statistically powered for safety as well as for immunogenicity. Sample size was 60, 20, 30 per arm. So obviously, it was a small study, just a preliminary study to assess the primary responses. And the statistical power was not there. The participants, majority of them were male. And though we feel that, of course, it should not matter, even if the females, we should have similar immune response. The study was done in an Indian population. Many of them had baseline titers against typhoid and paratyphoid. This was not an immunologically naive population, but of course, it does not mean that the vaccine may not work in the naive population. So these were some of the limitations, but yes, eventually we'll get over these limitations, and many of them didn't really have any impact on the outcomes of the study.
Absolutely, yes. Sounds like limitations that will be dealt with as the sort of clinical program of development continues. So given that we already have several WHO-approved typhoid vaccines, in fact, one of them used as a comparator in your study, I believe, how might your vaccine fit within the existing landscape of vaccines available?
So currently, these typhoid conjugate vaccines are approved for age group from 6 months up to 65 years. Presently, WHO recommends single dose of TCV for incorporation in the expanded program of immunization at 9 months or at 15 months of age. And as a one-time single dose mass catch-up campaign in children up to 15 years of age, with priority for countries with presence of high disease burden or with high antimicrobial resistance. So, though TCVs have been used in some campaigns, very few countries have included them in routine immunization programs. So these include countries like Liberia, Malawi, Nepal, Pakistan, Samoa, Zimbabwe. So that's where the TCV is getting used, and hopefully more countries will start using it. And so this is the current landscape of typhoid vaccination. We believe that once the bivalent vaccine becomes available, hopefully this vaccine may replace the monovalent TCV and make it included in the routine immunization programs. And of course, it can also be used in catch-up campaigns similar to typhoid conjugate vaccine.
You've already given us a good idea of what's next for your particular line of research, moving into later phases of clinical development for this bivalent vaccine. What are the major challenges you foresee in terms of your own research going forward?
Yeah, so just to give you a little more detail of what exactly our plans are. So there are phase 2 and 3 trials lined up for this vaccine in India and Africa, along with a human challenge study on this vaccine for paratyphoid component. The WHO recommends the challenge model for paratyphoid infection to study the efficacy of paratyphoid A vaccine. So this human challenge study will demonstrate the efficacy of the vaccine. And also we'll try to see the non-inferiority of the typhoid component against the licensed vaccine in that country. The India and Africa field trials will aim to demonstrate superiority of our vaccine for aspartate and non-inferiority for typhoid component. And we'll be doing several assays in the trials. So all of this, and also we'll have to look for lot-to-lot consistency, non-interference with the concomitant vaccines. Naturally, considering several hypotheses in the study, the sample sizes will be quite large so as to generate adequate safety database. The immune responses will have to be tested in different labs, and that testing will take a lot of time. And now, also, of course, recruitment in these trials is also going to be quite challenging, especially in the human challenge study, because in these volunteers, they will be actually challenged oral, they'll be given oral challenge with the aspartate after they receive either vaccine or placebo. And then we'll analyze how many of them get infection and whether the vaccine gives better protection or not. So this is, in these kind of studies, the recruitment is always challenging. So all these issues are there. It's a very complex program, which will run over the time. It will, of course, be very time-consuming, very expensive, and very laborious. And these are the challenges. We will overcome them and get a successful conclusion to the program.
Absolutely. Yeah, you've got your work cut out going forward, but sounds as though there's some very exciting downstream benefits that could result from this work. So thank you so much, Dr. Kulkarni, for joining us today. We've heard about some really promising evidence for supporting the safety and immunogenicity of this bivalent typhoid and paratyphoid vaccine. And we've heard all about the important implications this has for the vaccine development pipeline. You can read the full paper and the accompanying comment by Rabana Rakib at thelancet.com. And please also remember to subscribe to The Lancet's In Conversation With podcast, wherever you usually get your podcasts. Thank you very much for listening.